Hello, Ivan.
Hello.
Okay, so let me make sure the live stream's all going and stuff. And here we go. That's going. Now we'll check this thing.
La la la. No, it's
okay. Let's just take this one, and now we And make sure this is here. There we go. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Ready, Yvonne?
Ready to go.
Ready to go. I'm live. Here comes the intro. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, November 23rd, 2024. It is just after 18:30 UTC as we're starting to record. I'm Sam Entry. Yvonne Bo is here. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello. 1830?
1830. Didn't I say 18?
It sounded like 13 for some reason, but okay. Yeah.
It's 18.
Okay.
It's 18. Yeah. Need to start getting those little assistant things. You know, the Apple has now added hearing aid features to the AirPods. And so, you know.
Man, no, I may need to mow the hair and the ears or something like that. I don't know.
There you go. Now.
Well, that is one thing that I can't, you know, I don't actually get like I know people that get really bushy in the ear hair thing. And I'm one that, look, I had to start shaving when I was like 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. Okay. I had a really ridiculous beard, but I don't get that much of it. But what I do get, I do remove. I will say, I will get rid of that hair.
You're talking ear hair at this point.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Ear hair. You know, yeah. So I do get rid of that. And I'll clean my ears regularly.
Good for you, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
with proper methodology, you're not just shoving
proper
methodology.
Yeah. No. With proper methodology. Well, here's one thing I realized, especially using like, because I use earbuds regularly, right?
Uh huh.
Look, I mean, if you don't keep your ears clean, I sometimes, you know, when I haven't cleaned my ears, I will pull them out. They're like, oh, gosh, that's disgusting. I'm like, no, it's, you know. Not which doesn't happen regularly, but it's happened where I've been like, I mean, I've been a little bit remiss on that department. And all of a sudden I'm like, you.
Right. So now before we get any deeper into details of Yvonne's earwax, let me just say, agenda wise, we'll do our usual. We'll do a butt first. And then, you know, we'll have a segment where Yvonne picks what we talk about. And then we'll have a segment where I pick what we're talking about. But I was just mentioning to Yvonne right before the actual start of the show.
We don't have a lot on the list.
We're kind of light. Like we had the election. We were burnt out by the election. We did talk about election related stuff anyway last week. But at this point, it's like one of the topics on my potential list is, you know, everybody's lots of people are backing off from news and stuff. I'm not so much, but
a lot of people. I know a lot of people are.
Yeah.
It's like, don't even, you know, I don't want to hear it. Just don't even, you know, mention it. Yeah, I know. That is a topic to discuss. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. So you want to start a butt firsty kind of thing?
Well, here's a butt firsty that I will mention. So my wife and son were supposed to travel today for a few days to visit family in Bogota because there's no school, but I still had work. And okay. I was like, you know, I'm like, look, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to wind up because I've done this before when I've had work. I'm like, look, I'm going to wind up, you guys go do something. And I'm going to sit in front of a computer anyway, because I got to deal with shit. So this doesn't make any sense. You guys go and, yeah, I'll stay over here work and then I'll pick you guys up back at the airport. But the interesting thing that happened is that the date's approaching and we get news that they were going to stay at her aunt's house where also her aunt, her cousin has been living there with his wife for a little bit. They actually have a very big house. So it's not like it's not for money reasons. It's like they you know, they got married and they have a very big house and they're basically splitting it. My mom is, you know, divorced for a long time. So she's single. So they were like, well, you got one side of the house. I got side of the house. This works, you know, and that way, you know, we're all here. And they had pregnant. They had a baby. Okay. Not that long ago, less than a year old. And so my wife was going to stay over there because the house is quite big. And Manu went to the house, and the house is quite nice, to be honest. And Manu was like, no, I want to stay at that house. I don't want to stay there. No. Where are you going to take me? No, you're not going to take me to some tiny apartment. No. That house is awesome. And the house is pretty cool. So all of a sudden, get a call a couple of days and say, hey, his cousins, my wife's cousin's wife's family had come to visit. They had been on a cruise. And apparently they all came back sick. Not sure exactly with what. Okay.
Oh, wait. Let me express my utter shock that people went on a cruise.
And all came back sick.
This is
So
a place where you are all together in tight confines for an extended period of time. Yeah. Yeah. And people came home sick. I am shocked beyond belief that this might have happened.
Yeah, and so they came back, a whole bunch of them came back sick, and the baby got sick, okay? Oh. So they took the baby, and the baby got really badly sick, so they took him to the hospital. When they tested the baby, he came back positive for both the flu and COVID.
Nice, together.
Together.
Excellent.
So, okay, so my wife's like, well, I guess we can't stay there, and then she they're talking to her friend, which they were originally going to stay at her place. She's got the flu. And I'm like, okay, so then, well, how about you're going to stay at your aunt's house? And her other aunt, okay, she doesn't have the flu, but her daughter is at the hospital. And they don't know why she is feeling ill, and they're not sure why. So it was just like...
Everyone's sick. Or has
everyone
something
is,
else.
Everyone is sick. And so the thing is, Manu was really, 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 really excited about, you know, getting on, you know, he loves airplanes. Go get on the damn plane. And, well, I had to break the news to him yesterday that I'm not going to be able to go today. So, you know, but I did, what I did is like, I said, look, one thing is, I'm telling him not to go on the plane and have no plan B is terrible. Because that's the thing that I've noticed with him, that it's like, he will get very upset if you're just telling him, well, it's canceled. We got no plan B. So then he will be very upset. So I said, no. Look, and my wife's like, look, I can't just tell him I'm not going. I got to figure out what plan B is. I don't know yet what plan B is. So I sat down last night. I'm trying to look at what the plan Bs are. And the one that I finally settled on was, okay, look, let me look at the calendar, because we had planned already on a trip during the holidays. So I was like, well, we can't move this airplane trip to the holidays. Actually, we haven't been, amazingly enough, Sam, we haven't been to Disney since June, okay?
I was about to say, what? Let me guess, you're going to Disney?
No.
He's not going to mention he's going to Disney.
No.
To Disney all the time.
No, but we haven't been to Disney since June, so we had already booked that for the holidays. That was already booked. And I'm like, well, we can't, we're not going to fly to Orlando, okay? All right? That makes no sense, okay? You know, so then I looked, I'm like, okay, but that was going to be after Christmas, okay?
Yeah,
we're going to go for New Year's? No. What I did is I rebooked the airline tickets for them to go before Christmas, like to go from the 19th through the 23rd, because this is going to be a short trip anyway, for them to go over there and to go before Christmas to hang out for a few days. Then you come back, we spend Christmas here, and then we'll go.
So wait, where are you sending them for a few days?
They're going to go back. They're going to go to Bogota because my wife had wanted to visit, but I changed the dates towards the December 19th instead of flying now. I was able to find find tickets. This stupid trip every time. This is the second time I've rebooked it. The tickets don't have penalties. However, the thing is that if there's a fare difference, you have to pay it.
Okay.
Every time I've rebooked it, the price has gone up. And because that's a very busy time, I wound up having to pay a whole bunch of more money. I wound up paying more than the price that I originally paid for the tickets for them to be able to fly on those damn days. And I'm like, you gotta be shitting me. This stupid trip, every fucking time. They were supposed to go in September, something happened. Okay, we pushed it to Thanksgiving. Now, this weekend, everybody gets sick. No, we gotta push it again. And I'm like, damn it, back then, I paid, you know, I don't know how much money because the fare was higher because it was a busier time period. And now that one is even busier than this one. And so therefore right now, basically the price of these tickets has doubled. Right. It's doubled since I originally bought the damn things.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
More. It's more. It's tripled.
Okay.
I really hope they fly this time.
But are they doing anything else this week to substitute?
There's no school.
Are they just staying home or are they going to like fill that week with some sort of activity?
We haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
The thing is that, yeah, there's no school. And so I don't know. I don't know what the hell we're going to do now.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. Well, Manu, you know, the biggest thing was the flying on the plane.
We're going to get him to,
at least he knows that he's going to fly on the plane on the 19th. And when I told him that we changed the dates and everybody was sick, he was like, oh, okay, so I just got to wait more days. Yeah, it's fine. And so he's like, okay, cool, no problem. So he's, you know, he took that, because I came up with a plan, he took it well. Because when my wife at first tried to tell him that we're not going, like, because she started first with strategy. Oh, we're just not going to tell him that? Oh my God, that kid was like breaking up in tears. I mean, he was just, I'm like, okay. Wait. I'm like, wait. Let me try to figure something out. Okay? Because it's just, the poor kid was just going to, he was going to cry. Like, oh my God, he was ready to explode crying. So I had to sort something out. So what are we going to do the next couple of days? I don't know. Okay. There's no school. I don't know.
Stay home and watch TV and play video games. That's fine, right?
That's basically what I've got on the agenda. Now, here's one thing that this does inconvenience me. I had planned to do take care of a certain number of things like the next couple of days because they were going to be away.
And that'll be hard.
And now all of a sudden, I'm going to have to still... Well, one of them involves me going to get a chest CT scan.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. I know. It's like exciting. Yeah. I scheduled all this exciting stuff to do while they were gone. Yeah. No, it like I'm getting a chest CT and shit like that, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, at least, you know, I don't have to worry about other stuff. I've got like right now, because I was in the hospital last month because some other tests or whatever. I have like right now scheduled 3 different medical tests over the next month.
That's exciting, Ivan.
I got one that involves me, you know, drinking this barium thing in order to get a contrast CT. They tell me it tastes terrible. I've never had to do that before.
You know, we clearly live up to our curmudgeon's title when we talk about our health issues and maladies.
Well, this is the kind of shit. Here's the thing. This is the kind of shit that happens as, you know, as we are getting into our curmudgeonly years. And I got to tell you something. It's going to get worse.
I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, there was like, I still always remember this scene from City Slickers with Billy Crystal, where they had brought him in, you know, there's one of these days of career day, I guess, and he was supposed to talk to the little kids about his work or whatever, and his work was boring. And there was this one line, you know, he was talking about getting old, and he said, you know, as we grow old, one thing has happened, it's like, you know, we go and get sent to the hospital, and we get an operation, but in order not to make it sound so bad, we call it a procedure, you know? So, you know, well, you know, that's where to step. We are at that. We are at the procedure step right now.
I understand. So is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
Okay. Now I'll just say this up front. Like I've got, I know we have sort of the butt first and then the more newsy things, but honestly, most of the things on my list at this point are, and this ties to what we were saying about people being sick of news. I'm still like religiously following news, but most of the things I have on my list are not particularly newsy. So
there's a spider story.
I
see that there. I don't remember talking about the spider story.
Now, I have not said anything to you guys on the Slack about the spider story. It is not something I saw in the news. It is something that happened to me. So
people ditching X for blue sky. Blue sky. That's another one. I have to admit that for just because I'm just. I mean, how many fucking apps do I really want to be?
Okay. Let's. I am going to pick for my butt first here.
All right.
I'm going to do the spider story.
Okay, the spider story.
Because
okay,
so I feel like what's this going is. On with spiders? So here's the thing, and I know me and my family will appall certain people by this, but we are kindly to the wildlife, including spiders. Okay. We you know, like we basically
No. I am somewhat kindly to the wildlife, but I got some lines.
So spiders in particular are good. They are helpful
creatures.
They're
good outside.
Unless you've got like poisonous spiders or something, which we really don't have in this area.
Do I know? How do I know? How the hell do you know? What, you got a little fucking decoder card?
Well, so the thing is, like, yes, in this part of the world, like spiders that are dangerous to humans are rare. We don't live in Australia. It would be in a different story in Australia, okay? But spiders that are
harmful. How do you know some asshole didn't bring one, like, you know, from Australia, as far as you know? You know, the Everglades right now is overrun with pythons.
Yes.
They're not native here because a whole bunch of assholes fucking like, oh, well, I bought a python and had it home. Well, oh, shit, it was such a bad idea to have a python at home. Let me just dump it in the Everglades. And they multiply worse than rabbits.
So anyway, the point of this is there are a variety of places in our living spaces where we cohabitate with the spiders and are fine with them. Like we intentionally don't mess with them. We let them be. So they're, I am looking in the corner of my office. There are webs right there. Okay. And I'm like, that's fine. They can be there. There's like some webs in, there's a spider that lives in my shower and, you know, I leave it alone. It leaves me alone. There's no worries there. But the, because, you know, they're nice little creatures. They are our friends, you know?
They can be my friend outside.
Outside. My daughter is scared of spiders. But you know, in my spaces and whatever, I'm not going to interfere with the spiders and they're not going to interfere with me. So more specifically, there was one particular spider that for the last, I don't know how many months, but definitely months, was living in my car. Okay.
Oh, fuck this. The hell with that shit. Oh, my God.
So let me
No. I mean, listen. Fuck. In the car? Fuck you. No. I'm like, even like, you know, it's in the corner over there in the office. I'm like, whatever. I'm like, I am probably like, okay. In the fucking car? No way. No.
So, like, look. It usually lived around the driver's seat, you know, in that general area. So like while I was driving, I would see it like on the mirror and stuff. Sometimes it would like come down in front of my face. There was one time recently where it was on the headrest and Alex was like, be really careful. Don't put your head back because you might squish the spider. And so for months and months, like Alex and I would pay attention to where the spider was. We'd talk to the spider. We'd say hello to the spider. We'd be like, if the spider was in a dangerous place, we'd make sure we paid attention and whatever. And so like, again, the spider was our friend. Okay. Now you'll notice I have used the past tense because something horrible happened.
You crushed it accidentally.
I did not crush it. I was picking up some fast food for Alex at a McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, it's one of these curbside pickup things. So like,
okay,
you pull up to the spot and they come out and bring you your food. I rolled down the window. The guy starts handing me my food. And then he's like, oh, you have a spider.
Boom.
Exactly. Like he smacked the spider and I was like stunned. I was like,
well, that's the normal reaction.
I was not. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I got it for you. And and meanwhile, like I wanted to scream no, but it was too late. He'd already smacked the spider, so I just
and I'm guessing at some point you realized, oh shit, that's the normal thing to do. I can't.
No,
he was actually trying to be nice, but didn't realize that that was the opposite.
So like, I
you froze. You froze.
I wanted to say something, but I froze.
Yeah.
He sort of was like, you know, you want a napkin? It sort of fell down. And I'm like, no, no. And to myself, I'm thinking, God damn it, you've done enough, you asshole. But like I said, nothing.
Okay. Let's be clear. He was, I know it was a mistake, but because for 99.999% of the people, that would have been a nice thing to do. He did what he thought would have been, unfortunately.
I hear you. Like, so I just sort of was like, nope, nope, I'm good. And I closed the window. He went back in. I sat there in the car and cried for several minutes before driving.
By the way, I do understand. I understand. So I will say that I look, I'm not like that with spiders, but you know, we get like,
and then I had to break the news to Alex cause he cared about the spider too.
Well, we get these little geckos like around that are actually harmless and they're actually good, especially because they had a lot of cockroaches. They will eat the cockroaches.
Yes.
So the little geckos, I'm actually fine.
And that's what the spiders do too. They eat other bugs.
Yeah. But you know, I don't like the fucking spiders. Anyway, but you know, I don't like the fucking cobwebs. I don't like walking into the fucking cobwebs that they do, and then I get them all. Anyway, no. They're too. But the geckos are harmless. They don't build webs. They don't leave shit. They don't do whatever they eat. So you know, like I think a lot of people are scared of them too. But I'm like, usually, like if we find one, we're like, you know, we'll try to leave it alone or. You know, because I know that they can't be inside all the time. I'll try to like, you know, grab it and like, you know, get it outside so it could be, you know, that way because they want water and they need to be outside. Okay, also they can't just be stuck inside all the time. Yeah. You know, so I accidentally once like with a door, it got wedged in the door jam. Oh, fuck man, I closed the door. I flattened the poor gecko. I was very upset when that happened. So I understand why you were like, I was like,
and it's like, been a couple weeks, I was like, now. So I'm able to laugh and joke about this a little bit now, but like for like a couple days, I was like, every time I thought about it, I was upset. You know, I'm like, I should have done something. I could have like, I don't know. Anyway,
you know, this there's a movie that I have to look to watch this movie again because, and I looked up that it does have a lot of good reviews, but it's not a very, as a matter of fact, I know I just looked up the box office it had was $100,000. That's how little play it got. It's a movie with Kevin Bacon. It was called The Big Picture. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So The Big Picture was a movie about Kevin Bacon being a promising new kid from film school that all of a sudden got hired and they gave him a contract to do a movie in Hollywood. But then he wanted to do a black and white movie like the old school and whatever. And then, you know, he started sitting down with all these people at the commercial Hollywood studio and it wind up turning into some movie with bikini girls on a beach and pop music and, you know, just some generic thing that had nothing to do with the art,
right?
Artistic type of movie he wanted to make. So one day he's sitting at a bar. And this is why this reminds me of you. He's sitting at a bar and he's watching, they have a TV and they have an older tube TV. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. Some older TV sometimes like that. And I've seen this before. I mean, sometimes it'd be,
You smack them to get them.
Working. Yeah. And sometimes, like, for example, you smack them and sometimes it would be in black and white and smack them and come into color. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he had been wanting to do the movie in black and white. And he's sitting there and the TV is showing this movie that looks in black and white. And so the bartender sees this and is annoyed by it and smacks the TV and it puts it in. And I think it was a colorized version of a black and white movie. That's okay, what right. It was. And so the movie is showing in black and white. And he's like, oh, look at this movie in the original black and white. And the bartender smacks the TV and it goes into color. He's like, wow, that's much better. And he's like, asshole, you don't understand. So that's kind of like what happened to you. This guy thought, oh yeah, I'm doing you a favor, I'm like gonna put it in color, and like, you know, so he killed the spider. But unfortunately,
and my wife, one of the things she did, one of the things she said to try to make me feel better,
yes,
which you'll love, is like, well, maybe if you're really lucky, before it was killed, it laid eggs.
Left eggs,
and yes, then you, and you'll have lots of little baby spiders in a little while. So far, it's been like 3 weeks. No sign of baby spiders. No sign of baby spiders yet. No sign of a replacement spider of any sort. You know, so I don't know, but yeah. So it's still sad, but yeah. I thought you would appreciate that story and my general attitude towards spiders in the house.
I do not. In the camp of like the attitude you guys have against the spiders. However, I do totally empathize with the fact that, you know, you had been protecting this damn spider for so long and then all of a sudden somebody trying to be nice.
Ugh. Now, I will say a few days before the spider went away, we did find another creature in the car that we did help outside. There was a snail. There was a snail in the car.
Yeah. Okay.
And we're like, the spider clearly was thriving in the car. It was fine. It was doing.
But not the snail.
The snail was like, the snail is just going to die if it stays here. So we very carefully, we looked up the proper instructions. Cause like, if you just yank a snail off somewhere, you can injure it through the process of trying to pull it off. So we properly looked up the instructions of how to get it to gently let go. And we got the snail to let go. And we took the snail and we put it out into the yard and blah, blah, blah. In a place that hopefully it'll be fine. But yeah, so the snail was not allowed to live there. You know, the rats who have a couple of times destroyed the interior of the car and other.
Those were not allowed.
And electronics, they are not welcome. No. Now, I still like would prefer not to kill the little creature, but you know, if you've done thousands of dollars of damage to my car, I have a little bit less sympathy for you than to the spider. You know,
I am also trying to be careful with snails. I will tell you that the one thing that always like oh my god just breaks my heart is that sometimes we have a lot of snails around, and look, if I see one walking around, I'll try to avoid it, make sure I don't hurt it or whatever.
Right.
But I will tell you the one that always like just that it's happened to me a couple of times and always like that hits me, stepping on a snail accidentally.
Yeah.
Ah. Fuck.
A couple,
they're just, you know, not doing anything bad. And all of a sudden I just walked along. I didn't see it. A couple of years ago,
we were out with my wife and the person she'd hired as a campaign manager. This was several campaigns ago. And we were putting up signs and blah, blah, blah. And we were putting up one like big sign that required like, you know, it wasn't just the little signs you stick in with wires, like big wood frame, several feet across, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, while we were doing this, you know, near where we were setting up the sign, my wife, Brandy, notices a snail on the ground and she tells the campaign manager, watch out. We're going to, whatever. And then like not less than 15 seconds later, he steps on it directly and crushes it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, come on. She just told you to watch out.
Yeah, but maybe she didn't see where it was. So like sometimes you're like, I've had, watch out, watch out. Where all of a sudden you're looking, you didn't see it. And then you move and you're like, ow. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yes.
Anyway. All right. So,
okay. So shall we take a break and then, I don't know, maybe instead of like a you segment and a me segment, we just keep alternating. I don't know. Whatever. We'll figure it out. But next, here comes our break. It's the Ray Lynch one. Here you go. If it works. Let's try again. Click. Hold on.
Computer buffering?
I don't know what it's doing. Here we go. Let me try again. No, it's not the beginning of the show again. We're just taking a little time to credit the artist responsible for the music we use at the beginning and end of the show. What you are listening to right now is The O of Pleasure by Ray Lynch. The music we close our show with is Celestial Soda Pop. Both of these songs are from Deep Breakfast. Now platinum, Deep Breakfast was the first independently released album ever to be certified gold by the RIAA. Ray Lynch's other albums are The Sky of Mind, No Blue Thing, Nothing Above My Shoulders But the Evening, and The Best of Ray Lynch. You can check out Ray Lynch or buy his music at raylynch.com, iTunes, Amazon, or anywhere you usually find music. Okay, we are back. Yvonne, so why don't you pick next? Let me guess, you want to talk 100% all about Donald Trump's cabinet picks and how all that's gone and Matt Gaetz and
his
name's Matt, right?
No, this is not
your pick.
No, what I'm going to talk about is more specifically around the business reaction to the Trump election. Like what I've noticed is there is quite a lot of enthusiasm in the business community related to the election. There's been some CEOs that have been heard saying certain things and look,
well, let me ask
some of the appointments, for example.
Before you get deeper, like it seemed, just looking at it, like I don't pay as much attention to this stuff as you do, but it kind of seemed to me like immediately after the election, like the stock market had a big pop, everything was going up. It seemed like everybody was super excited about exactly what you're talking about. Like this means regulations are dead. We can go full steam ahead and nobody's going to bug us, blah, blah, blah. And then that sort of started going in the opposite direction again.
Well, listen, there's two things. How the markets are moving, which is one reaction, versus what executives think that they can do strategically, okay?
Okay.
Because one of the big concerns that came up, when first the stock market did that massive move up, the biggest issue that economists and investors have had with the Trump administration is that almost every proposal that they have had on the table is inflationary.
Right.
And so one of the key drivers in terms of Fed policy to cut rates is, hey, inflation's coming down, so we can cut rates. But one of the key indicators for mortgage rates, well, the key indicator for mortgage rates, to be precise, is a 10-year bond. And yields on the 10-year bond, on the yields on the 10-year bond as soon as the election was over have been going the wrong way in terms of rates coming down, which is why mortgage rates have, even though with already a 3/4 point cut by the Fed, mortgage rates haven't budged.
Okay.
They're not going down. And so lending costs are not going down. And so the market, the money itself is telling you that for whatever the hell Trump spoke about inflation and all this shit, the analysis by, I'd say, about 80% of the economists of anything that Trump has talked about policy-wise tells you that none of that is actually very good for the economy. I mean, there isn't, the tariffs, not good for the economy. The illegal immigrants thing, not so good for the economy. But and specifically those two, because those two are the ones that he has been talking about the loudest.
Right.
And then the other issue, tax cuts, right? Look, the United States already has the lowest tax burden of any developed nation, okay? And all these people are complaining about the budget deficits, okay? Which, you know, under Biden, once again, have started to come down as they've have over Democrats the last during all the last administrations. But look, if you do a whole bunch of tax cuts, you're going to drive up the deficit, which, by the way, means usually it'll drive up interest rates. And so you've got, you know, people are hearing the rhetoric, but yet when you everything that you're proposing is that way, but that's not really helpful towards the stated goals that you have set out. And so, here's the flip side, okay? Other thing, okay, for example. You know, for all this talk about man of the people, you know, there's certainly quite a lot of picks that are definitely like all Wall Street billionaire types, especially the Treasury guy who's a hedge fund manager that each is named. So these picks are not, how do I say, consumer friendly, okay?
Yeah.
Or for example, the issue with on another side, why businesses are salivating in terms of, okay, great, now we've got a Department of Justice that is in our side. And what does it our side mean? They won't block mergers. They won't keep, they won't try to keep, you know, certain regulatory actions in terms of companies. So that will reduce that. But one of the reasons why this administration and the Justice Department has been reviewing businesses and business combinations and concentrations of certain power in certain companies is because all of those are inflationary. It stifles competition. And so therefore it winds up with, you know, the consumers wind up being the losers in the end.
Right.
And so if you get a department that, like right now, for example, I know airlines were salivating at this because there have been several alliances and mergers that had been blocked by the Justice Department of this administration, okay? American Airlines had tried to do a combination with JetBlue for an alliance that got blocked. It was a merger between Spirit and JetBlue that got blocked. There's just been a number of those that have happened. And so all of a sudden, airline executives are like, oh, wait, you know what? That's all going out the window. The hell with that shit. Now we can do whatever the fuck we want. But that's going to wind up leading to higher prices. That's not cutting prices for anybody, okay, mm-hmm. in any way.
There's also an uncertainty factor. Like one of the things that people were talking about after the election in the stock market and such was, you know, you can expect to pop almost no matter what the result is because you're replacing uncertainty.
Correct. Yes,
however,
however,
with Donald Trump, there's still lots of uncertainty because he's just a chaos agent, right? Like even you mentioned the tariffs, right? There's still lots of debate here on like, okay, well, but what is he actually going to do? Like, because yes, he's saying all these crazy things with huge numbers about tariffs on absolutely everybody in the world, but is he actually just going to do it? Or is it a negotiating gambit where he's going to try to use the threat of that as leverage in some way? And then he's not actually going to do it. He's going to extract concessions out of person A or B or C in exchange. And so we have no idea what's really going to happen. And, or, you know, he's going to want to do this, and people who actually know what the hell is going on about the economy are going to be like, no, don't do that. And some people still think he'll listen to that kind of thing, although I think there's lots of evidence that he won't. But, you know, because as we said, like his whole thing is like, he was frustrated by the first term in terms of people telling him no. And he doesn't want that this time.
Well, one thing about that is that I don't know what we still don't exactly know yet what the hell he'll do. I'll say one thing though. Look, the main driver for Trump, what is it? Number one
has to be whatever benefits himself personally.
Correct. That's right. So one thing that we've established, that because of our new, how we are right now, in terms of presidential immunity, nobody giving a shit about emoluments, money, whatever. You got a sitting president that has a publicly traded company out there that people could just inflate the value of that fucking company in order to basically make them richer, okay, at their whim, okay? So right now, there is an entire gaggle.
Just along those lines specifically, one person was commenting, when you're looking at the whole tariff thing, don't look at the headline of the tariff. Look at what the exceptions are, because that's where the gifts are being given out.
Because right now, for example, there is an entire gaggle of people lining up right now and meeting with him to just go and like get their damn exemptions. Okay. All right. Oh, but, you know, wait, you know, everybody is lining up to influence him. And right now, one thing that we know, the spigots are open to basically pay off this man in any way possible.
Right.
There is no fucking, this is the first president that we are ever really getting in history that can be bought openly.
I mean, just as a simple example to make it concrete, you know, you could be like, hey, so you don't want the price of iPhones to double overnight? What are you going to give me?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, you got to see if you're like Tim Cook or something, you have to like have that conversation. It's not an option to ignore it.
That's right.
So it's like, what is the trade-off? That
who's going to impeach him? Who's going to prosecute him? Who's going to go after him?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to do a damn thing. He can go right now openly and ask for as much fucking money to do anything that he wants. And there is absolutely no stopping him in any way, shape, or form.
Right. That's the bottom line. And as you said, there's so many sort of open venues. You can buy goddamn Truth Social stock. You can, right now during this transition period, the Trump transition has completely refused to sign any of the documents about transparency in the transition process. And so there's all kinds of things you can donate to help with the, you know, inauguration or whatever, that are completely unmonitored, unregulated, whatever. And because he's not cooperating with any of that stuff, and who's going to make him?
Nobody.
And like he had to sell the damn hotel, but there's plenty of other venues.
Well, he had to sell Sam. He made a killing.
Oh, I know. I know. Because it was bought for way more than it was
worth. I mean, the hotel was already shortly after, the guys that bought it were in trouble financially. Yeah. Okay, with a fucking hotel. I mean, he completely...
We're talking about the Washington, D.C.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he made a killing in that hotel. It's crazy. It was so overpaid. It's like that house that some Russian bought overpaid in Palm Beach that he bought for $20 million. They gave him $100 million for.
Yes.
I mean, all you got to do is say, there's a resort up in Scotland. We'll give you $2 billion for it.
Or even absent that, I mean, you know, he can ramp up the prices for just people to stay there and they can book rooms.
Well, this is what they were doing at the hotel. Before.
That's what they were doing at the hotel. And, you know, and in his last presidency, he like doubled or tripled the price of a membership at Mar-a-Lago. You're sure he's going to do that again?
Oh, you know? Yeah, totally.
And
at the hotel, listen, certain countries had been blocking and buying blocks of rooms.
Yeah.
That remained empty.
Yes.
Just, you know, oh, well, take a couple of floors.
Yes. And this is one of those things, one of many things that once the Biden administration came in, they decided not to pursue aggressively where, you know, but oh, well, water under the bridge.
You know, so that now one thing also there is in terms of policy predictability, right?
Yes.
The problem with this is also that this makes whatever the fuck policy is going to do also very unpredictable. Mm-hmm. Because, hey, if somebody offers you $1 billion to do this, but then the other guy offers you $3 billion to do the other thing, then of a sudden you'll wind up flip-flopping in 2 seconds and other guy.
An actual example from the last couple of years. Well, two actual examples, actually. Now, he wasn't president, but he was running for president. And he did 180s on his position of A, TikTok ban, and B, crypto. Both directly in response to money flowing into his campaign.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And like 180 degree change in his position on both of those. So it's not even subtle. It's not a slight adjustment. It's a, you know, this is bad. Like in TikTok, he was like all for banning TikTok. Suddenly, a major investor in TikTok was donating to campaign. Oh, no, let's leave TikTok alone.
Oh, no, TikTok's fantastic. Great. Oh, no, great.
and same thing with crypto. He was on the record talking about how crypto was a scam and it should be regulated and blah, blah, blah. The crypto bros came in full-fledged support, including Elon Musk. And now he's all about crypto. He's starting his own damn crypto. You know, his family is. So, yeah. So I think that is part of the unpredictability as well, for sure. It's like, and the other way of putting it and is that even when like most of it is, you know, when people talk about him being transactional, a lot of it is certainly like the personally transactional, like do something for me. But even when it's not, it's still transactional in terms of like he doesn't care from some sort of ideological position. So like, even when he's talking about things like how NATO sucks or whatever, if all the European countries in NATO want to just buy him off, he would suddenly be happy with NATO.
NATO's great.
You know,
NATO's awesome.
It's just 100% like,
Get the defense companies, you know, all of them, you know, that would be like I would say, you know, defense companies have not had problems in the past at bribing like officials. Okay. Let's be clear. All right. Not exactly off their game. So what the hell, man? I mean, come on, you know,
this is also the
biggest payday.
Yeah, this is also something he was known for last time around and with varying levels of success, but he kept wanting to, for instance, for making deals, like he didn't want to deal with the EU. He wanted to deal with each of the countries individually. And he kept trying to push them in that direction. And for the most part, they sort of stuck together and said, no, we're negotiating as a bloc. But that's clearly his direction. He wants everything as a one-on-one, person-to-person, let's make a deal. Let's make a handshake deal. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. There's no sort of thought of, hey, there's this abstract long-term goal where we have a mutual benefit, blah, 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 blah. He doesn't believe in that at all. It's all about like, how can we make a deal that I get something out of you? And he does not care about a mutually beneficial deal, by the way. He would much rather it be a deal where you get screwed. But like,
so my point is that this is why businesses are salivating at this administration, and they have been openly salivating about it because they pretty much figure, yeah, whatever the fuck we want from this damn administration. All we got to do, if we put up enough money, we'll get whatever the fuck we want. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. So, you know, and by the way, the thing about it is, how does that help the little guy, Sam? Yeah. You got any idea? Do you think that helps the little guy?
Oh, no.
You think that helps them with the price of eggs?
Yes, the price of eggs. Yeah, that'll be coming right down immediately. Not that it wasn't already down, by the way. But yeah, I'm sure it'll fix that problem immediately.
Yeah. So it's just, you know, it's just one of these things where you get this guy who is showing up in his, has his jet with his name on it, with golden toilets and shit, and telling, and he convinces the average Joe that he is there for the little guy. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know. I was thinking about this today in terms of like the people that Trump admires, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm remembering like when I went to Moscow a few years back, and I realized that, you know, that this is one of the guys that he admires the most, which is Putin, and how that works there, right? Which, for whatever reason, look, Putin does have a lot of support with the people. It's not just that he isn't just there where 80% of the people hate him and he's just there by force. I mean, even though he has crushed all the opposition, okay, the reality is that he does have a lot of support. A lot of people there see that after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the country was a disaster and a mess, hyperinflation, blah, 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 he's brought stability. Okay. All right. And he's brought Russia back to be, you know, a proud country, respected, whatever, all this bullshit. Okay.
Honor.
Ah, yes. And you know, I still remember, because Vladimir, the way that he's run the country is that he has these business favorites that sometimes, you know, when they fall out of favor with him, he'll fucking throw them in jail and, you know, whatever. But he is the one that really picks the winners and losers in the economy, and who, you know, all these people that have money. And one of the things that struck me about Moscow was, the wealth displayed was very prominent. It was a very, very, you know, you saw wealth being flaunted like in a very open way. And I think that the funny thing is that there are in Moscow now, but you go into the smaller villages and other places, whatever, that are in Russia, many of them are struggling and they can't afford even the basics. Okay.
Right. Okay.
But for whatever reason, I think that the people in those small towns see Moscow and see it wealthy, and it's like, oh, look, you see how we are big and proud or whatever. And I sometimes wind up thinking that a whole bunch of people that are voting for Trump, they kind of think the same thing. They see the wealthy, strong guy and whatever, and he comes into, you know, kind of bumfuck whatever town that he goes to. And these people look at him as like, look, these America, that's the America I want. It's like, that's who I want to be. And so it's, you know, because they want to be like him.
Right.
They literally want to be like him. And, you know, it's like why Berlusconi stayed in power in Italy for so many years. This guy, you know, that's what he wants. He wants, and he's gotten a lot of adulation by a whole bunch of people that are living shit life, and they think for some reason that voting for him is going to rub off on them in some fucking way. I don't understand why, but you know, but that's just seems to be what it is. So anyway, so bottom line, businesses are flat out super excited about this administration, and everybody is getting their their trucks of money ready to go in order to pay them off.
Okay, before we take a break and move on to something from me, just one last question on this. Given you've got all of these, you know, big wigs and major companies and stuff, like trying to figure out the right angle to make all kinds of money off this, what's the right angle as a fairly small like person here? Can we, if you just pour lots of money into SPY, or, you know, into the S&P 500 index or something, is it gonna, are we gonna see all the big companies make money and the stock market go crazy? What's the deal? Like, surely there must be some angle.
I am not sure yet what the angle is on this right now. And one of the,
apparently crypto has been doing really well the last couple of weeks.
Well, one thing is short-term trends, which, you know, the stock market and other things have been going off short-term. I'm trying to think more over.
What's the four or five-year play?
Yeah, and I got to be honest. I think until you see what the economic plan is going to be and how they're going to do it, I just don't know. I think the one thing, like you mentioned, it's very unpredictable, and it really depends who gets into his pocket or not. Here's an example of something, all right? I know he has been barking and talking about, and even Elon Musk has been saying, oh, let's get rid of the incentives for energy. Let's get rid of the 7,500, blah, 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 blah. Listen.
For EV cars.
For EV cars. I know that Elon says that, but I guarantee you that the moment that he finishes that, if he listens to a CFO at Tesla, he's got to be saying, are you out of your fucking mind? More than half our profits come from that fucking damn incentive. What the fuck are you doing? Why are you saying this? And by the way, I don't put it past Elon to be saying that publicly just to get like publicity and then go and turn around. Oh, no, but now we're just the only eligible car makers are Tesla. You know what I'm saying?
He'll work the exemption.
Yeah. You know, so come on. I'm like, man, I don't know. You know, I see the populist thing that he's saying, but I don't see anybody in their right mind that would go and sacrifice more than 50% of their profits and boost competitiveness of his competitors overseas for any good logical reason that I can think of.
Right.
Now Elon has done incredibly dumb shit that loses money already. I mean, because this, forget about his net worth, like whatever the fuck it is right now. The reality is that the profits at the companies that he has been running, you know, the two public, you know, the one that was Twitter.
Yeah.
Revenue is down 90%. He's crushed that. Okay.
Tesla's
growth has been obliterated. Okay. They're losing market share and their growth has been obliterated. Okay. They're not growing and they don't seem to be able to figure out a way to grow right now. Okay. And so, and by the way, SpaceX lives on fucking government money.
Right. Well, look, here's the thing on some of this. Like, for instance, you mentioned the Twitter/X one. There's been lots of commentary at this point that, hey, it's clear at this point, like, he didn't expect, like, it to necessarily do great. He just wanted a mouthpiece, and he wanted to have something that he could use to influence politics, and he got exactly what he wanted out of it.
I will say this. I think he wanted the mouthpiece, but I don't think he thought he was going to lose. Listen, he tried to back out.
Yes.
Don't tell me this shit. He tried to back out. He wound up backing into this because he wound up having to fork over the $40 billion. But let's be clear. He tried to back out.
Right. Well,
so
and like,
tell me about the 4D chess bullshit, whatever, because he desperately wanted to back out. It was only because the court forced him to buy it that he wound up owning it.
Right. But I guess the question is, like, at this point, does he care? At this point, it's like a rounding error.
He's written it off. I mean, basically, yeah. Everybody's written it off. I mean, he's lost the money. It cost him $40 billion. So now he's getting the worth of it from this, but not yet. But my point is, it's a business move. I mean, the whole thing,
you also mentioned SpaceX, though. I mean, and this is why he's sucking up to Donald Trump, too, right? Like,
right. But my point is that you can't, I mean, listen, those government subsidies are fucking critical for the profitability of his company.
Yeah, yeah, no, but my point though is like he's got this Doge thing that has been set up for him to recommend government cuts. He's not going to recommend cutting SpaceX. He's going to recommend cutting Blue Origin. Keep SpaceX.
Well, but Sam, but he's been openly saying to completely kill the EV credit. I mean, which
basically
company that worst gets hurt by that is Tesla.
Yeah, but
because here, okay, so because think about this, right? You want to talk about stupid strategy, right? Okay. All right. So Donald says, well, fuck it. Drill, 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 baby. Oil burning car, you know, gas burning cars or whatever. Does Tesla have any gasoline cars? No, right? Who has the fucking gasoline cars?
Yeah.
GM for all his fucking competitors. Okay. So he thinks, well, I'm going to hurt them. No, you're not. If you get rid of the regulations and you do that, fuck, you're bailing him out from having to build the fucking EVs that have been losing money. Say, oh, fuck that. I'll just build more gasoline cars and fuck you. I mean, that is one of the things that I am just like,
literally like one possibility here is he's like, I'm rich enough. I don't give a fuck anymore. I'm going to do I really don't believe in government subsidies. I'm going to want to say kill all of them, even if it hurts my bottom line.
Here's the problem with this, right? Okay. Tesla's valuation is hyperinflated. Okay. So if you collapse the profits, there's no way it can stay up there. I mean, you're doing everything actively to try to see how much does it take to finally fucking, you know, pop that bubble. Okay. And here's the other thing. Okay. That's also important. At some point, right? Elon Musk right now getting so rich right now with how the stocks have moved, whatever, because of how close he's to Trump. How long is it until Donald Trump says, well, why the fuck am I making this guy rich? This should be my money. Because remember what he did with the people at whatchamacallit, Truth Social? He basically tried to screw them all. You know, he's like, fuck you. You guys don't deserve any of this money. It's mine. How long does it take for him to say that?
Well, yes, absolutely.
I made you that money. That's not you.
No, absolutely about the money, but also about the attention. If you remember, there have been multiple situations over the years where somebody who works for Donald Trump has started getting all the attention for whatever reason, and they get the knife in the back immediately.
Yeah.
You know, because you're distracting. 100%. And like already Trump was at Mar-a-Lago joking about how he couldn't get rid of Elon. And, exactly. You know, he's following me everywhere and he won't leave. So, okay. Break.
All right. Yep. Break.
Okay. And when we come back, I don't know, I'll figure out something to talk about. Back after.
You see, I had something to talk about.
Oh yeah, you did. So like, yeah, we'll do a normal like your segment and then my segment and then we'll be out. So here we go. Blah 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 blah
blah blah blah blah blah.
Except I once again have to stop and start this thing. Hold on. Brip, brip, brip. Okay, we're back. And since I teased it a little bit in the beginning segment and we almost started to talk about it, but didn't quite, I think I'll do the disconnecting from news thing because I know on our Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, several people have talked about how they are so discouraged and stressed out or whatever that they are actively avoiding news that they used to pay attention to. And that includes you, I believe, Yvonne. You've been like, you know, and also like, there have been reports about like cable news channels, like ratings dropping in half since the election, you know? And now, honestly, there's a couple different things there. One, it may be, there's a certain portion of it, I'm sure, that's like people like, you know, I'm just burnt out. I don't want to talk about news right now. But also just to keep in mind, that always happens after elections. Elections are one of the big sources of ratings for news organizations in general, TV, print, who does print anymore? But like,
there's still print.
I know there's still some print, but like, you know, the traditional media, New York Times, Washington Post, blah, blah, blah. All of these things traditionally see a drop after elections, but maybe it's more than that this time. There seems to be a lot of people, especially on the left, who are just like, hey, you know, I really invested myself into this for the last few years. We lost. I don't want to pay attention to whatever nonsense Donald Trump is doing. I need to take care of me and my family and not think about this for a while. I'll tell you, I'm an addict to this stuff. So I've still got like news feeds everywhere around me all the time. I'm checking that kind of stuff. I'm not avoiding it. But even so, like in run up to the election, I had like the four news channels live feed almost always in the background just to see like, you know, did was there some new development I should pay attention to? I would have it muted or whatever, but it was always there. I haven't had that up since the election. I have all my other sources, but I've watched less live than I did before. I still have sort of, it's my default. My default rotations of podcasts I listen to are just, you know, news shows, but I definitely have heard a lot of people talking about that pullback. So
look, I will say from me personally, and this started a few weeks before the election, you know, I'm one that likes it. Bloomberg in the mornings. I always watch it in the morning. I've talked about this here. I have not watched them in about a month.
Wow. Yep.
And I've tried a couple of times and I can't do it. The problem is that every time they talk about Trump, it's very triggering. And I realize that I start getting really pissed off. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want to. I'm like, okay, I don't want to fucking listen to this. I don't want to listen. The other day, I tried to watch again, and I was like, it was because NVIDIA had talked, you know, come out with earnings. I was hoping, well, maybe they'll talk about earnings. But then they had some guy from the fucking previous Trump administration on talking about what they did when they came into when they came to office in 2016. And the thing is that as usual with these people, they twist everything and lie about everything. And I'm like, he was talking about, well, we came in 2016 because we had to fix the economy. I mean, he started off with this shit, okay? And how important it was for us to cut the taxes in order to alleviate the burden. Again, this country has the lowest tax burden of any fucking developed nation.
Right.
I mean, every time these guys talk about sky high taxes, I am like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's just, you know, it's another made up straw man. And so I hear this and I hear that. And I said, I can't watch this. I can't. What? And the problem is that, of course, that they're bringing some of these people in from the Trump circle because they're trying to understand what the fuck he's going to be doing whatever. And I'm like, you know what? I don't fucking care. And why do I not fucking care? Because it's all going to be chaos. It's all bullshit. All of these people are going to be speculating one thing or another. We just talked about it earlier. It's transactional. It's going to be whatever the fuck, you know, he thinks is going to be gainful at that moment. He has no convictions, you know, other than, hey, burnish my image and let me make myself money. Those are the only fucking convictions. Let me be a crook and let me do it the crooked way, not the right way. I just want to do it like in some transactional way where I'm like, you know, and the transactional part is important for him because it's like, I win, you lose, because he thinks that every transaction he's going to get that. That's the thing. I beat you on the transaction.
Right. That's like I said in the last segment, he's not looking for a win-win.
No. That doesn't exist. In his world, it's a zero-sum game.
Right.
So,
And in terms of, like, media drop-off, you also have, like, the whole, there was a Morning Joe kerfuffle, because Joe and Mika from Morning Joe on MSNBC.
By the way, same reason why they went down there is because, you know what, and I actually understand why, because I'm like, well, if we're going to be finding out what the fuck is going on, we got to be talking to these people. We can't act like they don't exist. He's going to be the fucking president in
right. The whole thing there was people are really upset that, like, they've spent the last 4 years, actually more than 4 years, practically since the moment he was elected 8 years ago, talking about how bad Donald Trump is. Now, people in part gave them some credit for getting him elected in the first place, but then they sort of are like, well, he won. We're going to go talk to him. You know, we're going to do this. Some people have talked about that they may have been like afraid to some degree of not doing that. But like,
I understand that too.
And you're right. Like, the whole media ecosystem, the reality is, and there are probably a few exceptions here and there, but like the whole commercial media ecosystem, at least, has a very heavy incentive to make sure you have connections to whoever is in power.
To know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, to know what is fucking on. To know what is going on, to have the inside sources and scoops so that you get the news story and not somebody else.
Right.
You know, people complained all along about, what was it, Maggie Haberman at the New York Times and how she was like cozy with Donald Trump. You know, you're going to...
Well, that's how she was able to report and all that shit.
Right. And you know, Woodward, for that matter, all of these folks, you know, and you're, of course, you're going to see all the same stuff again. And people complain about normalization, but at the same time, for like maybe somebody like, maybe nonprofits like ProPublica can get away with it. But like all of your corporate owned media, it's like, no, you have to be like, you have to take them seriously. You have to like, oh, yes, this is the Secretary of the Treasury. Let's talk to them and learn about what they're doing.
Exactly. But listen, even if you're NPR, if you're going to be reporting on Treasury policy and you're not going to interview the Secretary of Treasury that Trump nominates, how are you going to do your job?
Well, NPR is a different story. They rely a lot on government funding as well. So they're not a lot.
They're three.
Some. Yeah, they've got.
Yeah, a lot. Everybody says it's at 3% of the budget. Not exactly really, you know.
They're still not eager to get rid of that 3%, though, if you know what I mean. So
yeah, but still, I mean, but okay, but say whoever, okay?
Yes, yeah.
Look, if you really want to report on what's going on and you're not going to talk to any of them, even though they are going to be in charge, I don't know how you do your job. The flip side is, do I really want to know what the fuck is going on in most of my new detail right now? No. What I'm doing is like right now, listen, it's not like I am totally disconnected. I know what's going on, but I've just really limited how much I consume every day of it.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, I am reading it and I know what the hell is going on. I just shut off, you know, one thing, and this is something that I was pretty good about in the past, and I must admit that I have been remiss. And this reminded me of this, what happened with Trump. I used to very much limit my notifications regularly of what the hell I got notified about. And the thing is, with so many apps and so many things that I subscribe to, that number of notifications about shit going on had multiplied. And I was like for years, nope, I don't want these notifications. No, I don't want these notifications. No, I don't want these notifications. When I go and sit down to check, I'll check, but the number of notifications I got, it's not like I didn't get any, but I significantly limited it, okay, in order to make sure that I wasn't bombarded with shit all the time. And I had let that get out of hand. And so what I did was I did not cut off myself completely from news, but I definitely
turned off a lot of them.
turned off a lot of notifications from a lot of stuff because I'm like, look, I don't want to, I don't need to be notified about
every fucking thing. You'll find out eventually. You don't need to know the second it happens.
Exactly. You know,
like the important things will find you. You'll see them in a once a day scan. You don't have to be interrupted in real time to know that, you know, Donald Trump's latest appointment to his staff.
I could be irritated like at one time, like at 7 o'clock, you know, like late or whatever about all this stuff. Instead of constantly being irritated all day long about all this shit. You know what I'm saying? That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just not trying to be like, you know, because there is, you know, people are like, oh, we're trying to normalize this. And I keep going back, look, nah, that's not what it is. The problem is that right now, I can have all the outrage in the world that you want me to have right now. And what is it going to do? Is it going to change anything?
Right.
Is it going to do one bit of a difference? As a matter of fact, I think that there is an argument for the fact that in the past, we did do all the protesting, all the outrage that we want, and it probably emboldened Trump to do more because he got, it was kind of like, he fed off
the attention.
That. Yeah. And so
all attention is good attention.
All attention is good attention. So if you actually don't pay, if you're not outraged about every fucking thing he does every day, it probably motivates him not to do it. It probably either, he might, you're not feeding off, you're not feeding him that.
Right.
You know, and I don't know what
I've seen a lot of people online with that kind of attitude too, of like, look, I'm cutting out Trumpies from my life, but at the same time, like if they're Trumpies that are trying to get me aggravated, I'm just like, I hope you get everything you want out of this, and just walking away, leaving it at that. You know?
Yeah. There's no, you know.
And I wanted to mention, this reminded me, we did have a piece of feedback that I'll share here. We actually, there was more than one person who has told me explicitly about this podcast that, for instance, they could not bring themselves to listen to our election night episode.
I know.
Here's one, and this is from our loyal listener, Matt. I was talking to him about some other stuff, but he says, as an aside, I started listening to the podcast episode from election night during a walk I was taking last week. Since, of course, I knew the end result, and my walk was supposed to be for relaxing and de-stressing, I actually had to stop the podcast about 15 minutes into it. I was just getting so upset all over again, almost like a PTSD episode.
Yeah.
I just couldn't go through living through all that again. And he goes on to say, the election definitely hit me and his wife, but actually had a much more significant effect on my two older daughters. They've been really engaged both before and after the election. Dinner conversation frequently turned into political commentary, which has been kind of cool to be able to talk with the kids about that kind of adult stuff. But on the other hand, the first few days after the election were bad for them. They started ditching people on socials, blocking people, and started getting vocal with their friends and acquaintances about not wanting to spend time with someone who can blindly be ignorant of reality and or blindly do what their uninformed parents do. And he finally says, and I kid you not, a lot of the times his wife will turn to me and ask, did Sam say anything about that? What does he and Yvonne think about blah? So anyway, a little bit of feedback.
Well, by the way, well, one thing I will say, man, really, really, really impressed with the level of smarts of your daughters. Okay. Let me tell you, I'm like that. That's that, man. Proud of those girls. They're fantastic. I'll tell you what, that's great. I love that. You know, I really love that. And well, you know, I get it, man. I mean, like I said, you know, you talk about, listening to that podcast triggering the same thing with me. What I mean, I couldn't listen the regular news program that I watch in the morning, which is mostly business focused. Even just some stray mentions of what the fuck is going on had me going so bad that I'm like, I don't watch it anymore. I am now watching Get Up on ESPN. One of the great things I will say about that ESPN, you know, for better or worse, and I know that it impacted certain people negatively, and I follow some of those people outside of ESPN. But look, a few years ago, CEO of ESPN said, during the Trump administration, and they had a whole bunch of skirmishes with them, said, okay, listen, people, we are not talking about anything politics on this fucking network. Not one fucking thing. Nothing. They don't exist. We're not talking about it. Not one word. It's mm-hmm. like that shit doesn't happen. We are, people come here, and honestly, they're coming here because they don't want to be listening to that shit. So we're not, we're going to act like it doesn't exist. We're talking about sports. That's it. So when you turn it to ESPN, it's like the day after the election, it's like the election didn't happen. Nothing. Not even a stray mention. Nothing. Not one. And you know what? I realized I like this. I don't want to hear about it. Let's just talk endlessly about the benching of Daniel Jones of the New York Giants. Who the fuck gives it? Which is the, one of the most inane stories ever. And like, completely insignificant. And you know what? At least because we're talking about bullshit, it doesn't remind me anything about this fucking election. Good. Great.
Right. And look, even here, I mean, we've been talking about avoiding politics, which is still politics. We've been talking about economics, but we did not specifically talk about all the ins and outs of what was happening with Matt Gaetz and like my list of things to talk about was the damn spider, was about Blue Sky, was about, hey, should I be thinking about upgrading my iPhone? It's a little bit old right now. You know, I've got a thing that I may still mention before we closed out about more use of AI. Like I was doing some, Alex wants me to do game programming and I was doing a bunch of AI stuff last night. And I was really excited about it last night, actually. And the stupid AI screwed me at one point and caused me a lot of extra work. And so there was that. I'm revising my resume. I used AI to help with that, and there are pros and cons to that. And all, you know, but the point is not those things. I don't want to talk about necessarily any of those things right now, but like bullet point. Like I was putting down things this week that were not related to news and politics.
Speaking of AI, yeah, I recently got Manu a new MacBook Pro. Okay.
Yes.
And so,
dive into the tangent. Go ahead.
And so the one thing is that, you know, I was playing around with it. The Mac comes with a chess program.
Yep.
I hadn't played chess in like forever. And I'm like, okay, well, and the one thing is that I had it like reading out the moves. Okay. Right, and so Manu liked hearing the moves read out. I've never been a good chess player, but let me tell you something. But it used to be like the old programs. If you set it at the dumbest setting, I could at least like occasionally win a match against the computer. Okay. All right. Dude, I have not been even remotely close, even at the dumbest fucking setting, at beating this damn computer in a chess match.
So let me tell you one of the things, like I also have never been good at chess, although I wish I was, and always every once in a while I would like try playing. If you go looking for chess programs now, one of the things to explicitly look out for now is their dumb levels, especially if you're people like me. Like, get one that specifically has really, really, really dumb levels. Because the one thing is, remember, you know, I attended some of the Kasparov Deep Blue matches, where like one of my first dates with my goddamn wife was attending one of those Deep Blue matches. But like the second round, I think, with her, and I had done some a few years earlier with
I'm pretty sure that the stupid computer at the dumb level I got is smart at the fucking smart at fucking Deep Blue right now.
Well, what I was going to say, not necessarily the dumb level there, but every single iPhone chess game has levels at this point.
That's smart as Deep Blue.
That can beat the world champion. The current world champion today cannot beat the highest levels on a program that runs on your phone.
Exactly. You know? It's ridiculous. It's fucking ridiculous. And so, yeah, I can't set that damn thing to a dumb enough level where I can win one fucking game.
Well, just to be clear, there are chess programs you can get that are dumber.
I said that. No. I know, but one, I can't set it dumb enough for me to win.
Yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous.
To be fair, Yvonne, it probably has to be pretty dumb for you to beat it, but you know.
I agree. I'm not arguing that.
But I mean, literally, some of the programs have levels that just make random moves, completely random moves.
Here's the thing. But that's what a lot of average humans would do.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the problem. I can't set this one. This one will always do a fucking smart move. You know, yes. It's not going to do a stupid move. Even at the, it's going to do a fucking smart move. It won't make a fucking mistake. Humans, especially the average player, will make some dumb mistake, not notice that you put a piece in jeopardy and like, ah, fuck, you know, shit. Yeah. So I have not been able to beat that. I've gotten maybe 25, 30 moves deep, but no, still can't win. Doesn't matter. No.
Right. So my point was just, even as we're thinking about topics for the show, the shift towards non-newsy topics has been real. Like at least this week, I expect at a certain point, there's the temptation to do that right now. At a certain point, it will once again become unavoidable because Trump will actually be in office. He will actually be doing damaging things.
All right, we still got a couple of months to go.
We still got a couple of months to go, so we can talk about other shit.
And you know, I mean, there will be a lot of dumb stuff. I mean, one dumb thing that I didn't mention that I was going to mention earlier.
Yeah, go ahead.
You did touch on it a little bit about how they didn't want to sign any of the NDAs or anything, whatever. Look, here's the idiotic thing. You know, they're already starting off from just doing one of the dumbest things that you could do during a transition,
which is not talk to the people who are there now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that doesn't help them at all. I mean, they think that somehow, well, we're doing we're doing a hostile takeover. Well, listen, clown, you know, you're like trying to take over an aircraft carrier that you've never run before. And you're saying that you don't want any of the people running it to tell you where the fuck stuff is. You know what? You're going to be. Maybe these people have run ships before, but you know, you're going to be you're making it far more difficult to probably get control of it faster. And what they're doing is counter to their goal.
Well, also,
because you want them to show you where everything is.
Just to be clear, their explicit plan also includes on day one going in and firing all kinds of people, so that it's not only they're not going to talk to them now, that the supposedly career people who are not political, they're going to go in, and at least the plan, we'll see if they actually do it, is to decimate that group right when they first start. So they're going to damage that even further when they get in. Now their take on that is, all those people will just be there to stop us from doing what we want to do anyway. So there's no point in talking to them. There's no point in keeping them. We're just going to immediately get rid of it and we'll do what we want to do.
Now I'm pretty sure that will happen at some agencies and certain things, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm pretty sure a guy as much as I loathe Marco Rubio, probably won't do that. And the guy that they named at Treasury probably won't do that, but I'm sure that at certain agencies they will. But again, the problem is that you're going to get rid of everybody that knows where anything is.
Well, remember,
going to do
for many of these agencies, the explicit goal is to cripple the agency and make sure it can't do anything.
And I'm not sure how that's going to help them accomplish anything, but okay.
Well, it'll accomplish crippling the agency and keeping it from doing anything. You know, it's one thing if you want the agency to do something different than it does today. But if you want it to stop working, then it's much easier to break things than to fix them.
It really depends on how agencies are structured or what they do, right? Okay, because let me give you an example. Okay, somebody was talking about what CEOs do on a day to day basis, right? And how some companies can operate without a CEO being there. One of the things is that stuff like down when you've got a agency that has 100,000 employees and departments and agencies and sub offices and whatever, whatnot, right? well, everybody's just doing their job every day. They're not getting instructions from the chief executive or like whatever in order to do their job on a daily basis. Okay. They need to probably receive most of the time, you know, they need to receive instructions in order for something to change. Okay. And, you know, and so, and this reminds me of the experience I had with when Carly Fiorina came into HP, where she had the same mindset. Okay. She didn't understand why things didn't change. And I'm like, well, you got 150,000 employees. And if you want to change, it has to percolate all the way down to like the people that are actually doing the work. And if you don't really, and any change like that takes time because there's 150,000 employees. So if you basically cut off all communication to management, I've been in situations where my boss has been non-existent. What are you going to do every day? Well, if they haven't fired you, you're over there, whatever, you're just going to keep doing whatever the hell you were doing before.
Right.
And so I don't understand this entire thinking that they've got. Okay. It's just really, it may change like strategy in the long run. Well, they're not going to get some stuff or whatever, whatnot. But it's very difficult to, you know, you're not getting people to stop every day unless you're just going to fire everybody at the, you know, just everybody all the way down. Just fire everybody. Shut down the department.
Right.
So there is a lot of in this. What I see, naivete and wish casting rather than any smart, methodical way of how to execute this. Because I've always thought that the first thing that you do is that you, if you want to take over something and be effective at changing what it is, you probably could find some allies in that group. Okay. And some people that are willing to share the information. So you talk to them, you figure out who your allies are. They'll tell you where the fuck everything is. And then you start, you know, doing whatever the fuck it is. And then you start firing people. If you're going in and not even like do that, it's going to make whatever the hell you're going to try to do a hell of a lot harder. But look, we're expecting a mess. And I expect a mess, and I expect a broad mess from a lot of places, which is why I don't know what the fuck is going to happen. I just don't know. And I think that's the uncertainty that the markets and everybody is having right now after the first little boost of whatever went out. They're just like, who the fuck knows what they're going to do?
Right. So. And there's, yeah. But I think the spectrum goes from, oh my God, really, really like country destroying bad to bad along the same lines as the first term.
Right.
Which was still pretty bad, to be clear. There are lots of people minimizing how bad the first term was, but it was pretty damn bad. But you've got that whole spectrum. I don't think there's any possibility that it's better than the first term was.
No. I'll tell you an example, like, for example, you know, of things that got really bad, like just people just applying for a visa to come to the U.S. People that you would never turn away. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, people who even they want to come in, right? They decimated that process so bad that some people in places were waiting years to get appointments that normally took, you know, got handled pretty quickly. And so it's that kind of stuff where you're even impeding the shit that you want like to happen.
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay.
We'll just, all right. Well, we're done. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Let's wrap this sucker up.
Yeah.
One other thing I am going to say out loud here that I mentioned in passing, I was updating my resume. And by the way, on the AI part of that, the only warning is, you know, AI can be useful for things like shortening and blah, 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 and reflow this in another way, reformat it, blah, blah, blah. But you got to watch that shit like a hawk. Because like, you know, I was working on updating it and making sure like it included the last few years of stuff I had done and shortening it and like, blah, 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 getting rid of some of the really old stuff, blah, blah, blah. But like, stupid thing kept trying to add completely made up shit that doesn't exist. It's like, I had to make sure to go through.
You were the president and CEO of this company for 7 years, Sam. You didn't know this? AI knows.
Not quite that bad, but I had to like over and over and over again. Every time, like, I would ask it for something simple, like, you know, hey, this is too long, can we shorten it, whatever, you know, but I had to go over every single line by line, reading every fucking word, because it would be like, it would change it into something unrecognizable, and I'm like, I didn't do that. What are you talking about? Like,
I mentioned, I think earlier, that I had tried to get AI to help me write a letter. Okay, specifically, and the thing is that when I asked it to check the letter that I wrote, and the one thing that I wound up almost taking every edit out because it didn't sound like me anymore. It made it sound like some generic person talking. It took like language that I normally would use, which I sometimes use very
idiosyncratic.
You know. Yes, exactly. Things that are just that sound like me took them all out and sounded like some bland fucking like thing. And I'm like, no, that's you took out my me-isms and made it sound like totally bland. No, that's not what I want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But like, I was just concerned about accuracy. I was concerned about two things. One, don't say shit that's not true. Okay. Number one. And two, it has to be recognizable so that, like, if somebody asks me about this bullet point, I know what the hell it was talking about. And so, because, like, even if it, like, sometimes it was reworded to such a generic way that I'm like, okay, maybe, but I don't even remember, like, yeah. So anyway, the point is, like, these tools can be helpful sometimes in some scenarios, but
you got to be careful.
You have to be super, don't like never, ever, ever just take the output of one of these things and send it sight unseen. You have to check every damn line, every word, make sure it's what you actually want to be saying. And that, frankly, in some cases, that means you'd be better off just not using it at all. And just writing the stuff.
So but, the resume was inaccurate when it said you were an expert in bondage and BDS, you know, and other things. Is that you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. But yet it was fine when it said I was an astronaut, you know.
That's good.
That's just.
Yeah.
That's part of my record, part of my history, you know.
You know, they say that you were part of the first group to land on Mars or something like that.
I was going to say it said I was on the Challenger, but.
Or the Challenger. That would be something.
Yeah, anyway, no, so the thing I wanted to say is I'm not going to get into details of how or why. I am still at my current position, but I am actively paying attention and looking at alternatives and blah, blah, blah. So just for any of you out there, if you have any leads for me, contact me. If you're already a LinkedIn contact, LinkedIn is completely up to date. That resume I talked about has an HTML version at abelsmay.com/resume. Take a look. It's basically I'm a program manager / product manager kind of thing with a specialty in sort of anti-abuse content related stuff. So if anybody's got any leads, ping me. We'll give all the contacts. And yeah, I'm exploring. Let's put it that way. I'm exploring. I'm looking for options. And so if anybody's got any leads, let me know. Especially if you're a fan of the show, I'd love to hear from you anyway. But
yeah.
Okay. All right. With that.
One more thing. One more. So I got my.
Oh,
I
you got one more thing too? Go.
Yeah. I have the thing from our Slack that I
okay. Well, then let me do the website and all that crap. Okay. So yeah, go to curmudgeon-corner.com. You'll find all the ways to contact us. You will find our archives. You will find links to our YouTube where we live stream these things. We had one person in and out on today's show. Thank you, whoever that was. And
That was me.
Oh, that was you. Okay. Well, thank you, Yvonne.
Well, I was just trying to see if anybody commented on anything on the thing.
Well, I appreciate you watching the show, Yvonne.
Watching ourselves? Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So anyway, we do. I have seen these get some views after the fact as well. So appreciate that. There are links to all that kind of stuff on the website on curmudgeons-corner.com. We also, I have not linked the TikTok yet, but I am posting stuff on TikTok. We have gotten actually a decent amount of engagement on the TikTok. You know, basically, like if you look at the views of, I posted four clips from last week's show. Okay. Let me check where we are right now. Last week's show at the moment had 38 downloads of the audio podcast, of the audio podcast, the regular way. The TikTok, each one of the four clips that I posted had more than 700 views.
Wow.
Now, if you look at the stats, most of those views were only 1 second long. But, you know, hey, but we got a few likes. We got a few comments. There was one person specifically complaining about my audio quality last week. And I admit it. There was a problem. It was a real problem. My audio was blown out. I tried to fix it a little bit in post, but I couldn't really fix it completely. So it sounded just, my voice was not great on last week's show. And in fact, for next week, I will have a new one of these. The problem was, unlike Yvonne, I listen to myself in the headphones. And the port where I can plug the headphones in on my Yeti mic is broken. So I've ordered a new mic. This week, I am using my wife's mic instead, that's sitting on my desk. But I ordered a new one for me. It's the new model they have. So it's got some upgrades. I could have gone with a completely different brand, but I didn't. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But the point was, there's lots of engagement. There was a commentary. There've been people going back and forth, et cetera. Like lots of likes from people I don't recognize. Now, has it translated into actual listeners on the main show? No, I can't see that yet.
Well, we don't know because we have a drop. We've had a drop off also from here. Here's the thing. I don't know. I'm sure we've had a mix of people coming in and out, especially because we had a lot of people that after the election just don't want to listen to this shit right now.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, the Riverside, which we use to record, automatically generates these clips. It generates like a dozen of them, and I watch them, and most of them suck. And I pick a couple ones that suck a little bit less, and I post them. It's not much work. So I figure, why not? And if some of those people like the clips and eventually listen to the whole podcast, great. If not, oh well, didn't cost that much in terms of time or anything. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. One of the links on curmudgeon-corner.com is a link to our Patreon where you can give us money at various levels. We will mention you on the show. We will send you a postcard. We will send you a mug, blah, 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 blah. And very importantly, at $2 a month or more, or if you just ask, we will invite you to the Curmudgeon's Corner Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of listeners are hanging out, sharing links and chatting throughout the week. And Yvonne has a highlight of something from the Slack that we have not talked about on the show.
There were all these power outages in Washington State. I was talking about generating electricity and whatnot or whatever. And I was looking around, and there was somebody that is posting, like, they're trying to get this thing like funded and built. Powering your home with a fridge-sized nuclear reactor. So you get this little like mini nuke in your house that is the size of a fridge that, that could power your house.
Well, and look, it may be a little while out yet till you can really do this in a way that makes sense at the household level, but this is very much being talked about at the corporate level right now.
Yes.
For sort of powering data centers or other places where instead of your regular grid connection, you basically get a standard shipping container size. And I'm talking about the big ones they put on trucks or trains or boats. You get one of those that's a self-contained nuclear reactor, and you just plug it in and you power your thing,
And it'll work for 30 years or something, whatever, very long amount of time. Yeah.
People's immediate reaction to anything nuclear is, oh my God, safety. Is it going to explode like a bomb? Is there going to be nuclear waste? Is there this? Is there that? Honestly, a lot of those issues that were bigger issues like 40 years ago, the technology has improved a lot.
Yeah.
And are a lot less concerning today than they were, and are traded off against everything else. Like, against the big change is, of course, everybody is much more aware of the damage that burning carbon costs.
Right.
You know, so it's not like you can say, like, people always had the, oh my God, the nuclear stuff is dangerous, without really considering the danger of the old
of
the carbon-based sources, which has actually caused a huge amount of damage over the years. And so, you know, I've said for a long time, you know, the decline in nuclear was actually one of the biggest mistakes that was made over the last 50 years.
Oh, I agree. You know, I agree. I mean, nuclear had problems that needed to be addressed, but what we needed to do was address the problems, not have nuclear decline.
Right.
Period. And, you know, and look, there is a reason. We had some very big disasters between the really big ones, because Three Mile Island didn't, although it was a disaster in terms of, like, of nuclear radiation.
Chernobyl
and Fukushima. Fukushima. I mean, those were, you know, really terrible disasters. But at the same time, look, instead of, like, just ditching it, one of the things is that those two reactors that those three we're talking about were extremely older designs. There's so much newer technology that addresses the reasons why those were risky and cause a problem, that instead of, like, you know, we need to look at that again and adopt some of that if we really want to accelerate our move towards, you know, carbon neutrality. I mean, there's just, you know,
Yvonne, back to the current news. We've elected somebody. It's all about drill, baby, drill. All of these alternative sources are bullshit. No more solar, no more electric, no more wind. All of those are bullshit. No more nuclear. Hey, he might like nuclear a little bit, but, you know, but basically drill, baby, drill.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anyway, line up, sign up to get the personal nuke for your home.
Yes.
And, you know, and if they take too long to build it, you know, you can, I'm sure you can look up a guide online and just make it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not like that movie Manhattan Project.
Really? I don't know. I've never seen that. I have to look that up too. But
is it called a Manhattan? Wait, hold on.
There was a guy that, like, got in trouble, like, for like a high school science project, actually did get like 99% of the way to.
This was
a movie about that.
Yeah, a high school prodigy built an atomic bomb with stolen plutonium to win the 45th National Science Fair and explores a nuclear weapons lab. Yeah, the movie is called The Manhattan Project with John Lithgow and a couple of other people that are, Cynthia Nixon.
I've added it to my list, but there was a real life case of that as well. They did not actually have stolen plutonium, but they built like a breeder reactor in their garage or whatever. And, you know, eventually they were shut down.
I found out recently for some reason, and I think this may be part of a reason why my ex-employer Kodak has not been able to sell one of their buildings. there's a nuclear reactor somewhere in a fucking Kodak building.
Yeah.
In Rochester.
If you remember, and here we are on a tangent again, one of the important, like, little stories about the Manhattan Project is that Kodak was unintentionally very involved because the secret nuclear tests were messing up film. Because they were exposing film, and Kodak actually had to do a variety of things to make film that was less sensitive to what was happening in the Nevada tests, and also keeps secret all of the stuff that was going on here, because, you know, they were sensitive to what was happening. So even when they weren't, like, officially brought into the loop, it was like, oh, look, something's happening. You know,
right.
And there's a whole story. I don't remember the details. There's some YouTube videos about it. You can go look it up, about Kodak's involvement in the Manhattan Project and how the photosensitivity of film in terms of detecting radiation from tests was a big deal, and they had to deal with it. Anyway.
Yeah, I can believe that. Yeah. So, all right.
I think we're done.
We're done.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for joining us once again. You know all the stuff. Stay safe. They'll probably complain to me about sound again, because I've got, like, a little bit of echo going on. Wow,
sound good? You sound good on my end. So,
well, no, I hear myself coming back through you. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah,
whatever. Stay safe. Have a good week. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, there it goes. I'm going to hit stop. Later, Yvonne.
Bye.